hear the voice of Carrie Johnsrud. This is from her CD Beyond the Neighborhood, the music of Fred Rogers, collaboration with Kevin Bales. She was on the show a couple weeks ago, but we didn't, Dan and I realized, Dan Long and I, that we didn't play enough of her music. There's her voice. There you can almost hear. There she is. It's a pretty amazing CD. A few weeks ago, I was at an event, a benefit for a wonderful film society in Chicago. And there was an auctioneer there, as there are at many benefits, and we started talking, and he was such an interesting, captivating guy that it made me realize who goes up to the auctioneers at an event and says, "Hi, where are you from? What do you do beside this? How did you become an auctioneer?" His name is Jim Miller, and he's in the studio. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rick. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Your background, you're a kid from Michigan, who initially got hooked on this crazy business, didn't you?
It was my first love.
Why? Why and how?
I think when I was a kid, I used to, they used to call it DXing. You know, late at night, you'd flip through the stations looking for these, and in Michigan, you could pick up a WGN.
Sure.
You'd pick up, New York stations. And I just fell in love with that one-on-one conversation. I really bought into that idea that announcer was talking to me.
Was it a little transistor under your pillow?
It really was. Yeah. And I just loved that. And so in my hometown, there was a little radio station, a little 3,000-watt FM station in Howell, Michigan. And it was just a natural. They were, you just walked in the door and said, "Could I do something?
Can I have a job? Can I be a DJ?" Yeah.
And they were like, "Sure. Yeah, go sort records and, look at all the stuff." And you just get sucked into it. It's fun. And the next thing you know, you're getting, "Hey, we need a voice on this commercial." And then eventually, somebody says, "Hey, we need somebody to do the noon to 6 o'clock shift on Christmas Day."
And why did that not become your career?
I kind of fell out of it. This was in the late 80s is when I started. In by about 95 or so, the radio consolidation, just the jobs dried up to a great extent. Mm-hmm. A lot of these medium market stations were all of a sudden, you didn't have you had a live morning guy.
And then feed from
coming in from Dallas or wherever.
California.
And so I think I just kind of, I just moved on from it. And I went back, I did a little jazz show after a couple of years and did it. So, I enjoyed it. I mean, I love it.
How did you find the auction world?
Well, it came from the radio thing. It was about that same time in the late 80s, early 90s that these benefit auctions kind of became a thing. There's not a tremendously long history with these, and what you found is a lot of these PTAs and PTOs at schools were looking for an alternative way to raise money.
Sure. And what were they doing before? They're doing like casino nights and bake sales and car washes and
pizza. Hey, we're doing frozen pizzas. We're selling calendars. We're doing all these things. And quite honestly, this was the same time that most of these events are run by moms.
Sure.
And they were getting back into the workforce in a very quick manner, and they just didn't have the time. And they said, "We're getting nickeled and dimed every 4 weeks. It was something different." And there was just kind of a deal made. And they said, "Here's the thing: we'll see you on the third Saturday in May. Bring your checkbook. We're going to raise a ton of money for the school, and we won't bother you the rest of the year."
Do you remember your first auctioneer?
I do. Yeah.
What was it?
It was for Spencer Elementary School in Brighton, Michigan. And I had no idea what I was doing.
What were the items being auctioned?
Oh, goodness. There's always been kind of a common thread when it comes to the items. And I always tell clients, I'm like, there's only one question you ask. Do you think you can get two people to fight over it?
Yeah.
That's it. Doesn't matter who donated it. Doesn't matter what you tell me it's worth. Get two people to fight over it. You've got an auction. And so I think we had some vacations. I think we had, maybe some sports tickets back then. But I had, what I was told was, start low and go high. That's it. I didn't have any kind of a shtick or anything.
Did you study at all?
There was no radio.
Idiot's Guide to Auctioneering or something?
No, this was pre-internet.
It was seat of the pants.
It just was. And I've always applied a very simple concept to these events. And even now, whether I've got, 200 people in the room or 1,000 people, which is that it's a really small percentage of people that are ever going to be buying these items. You've got maybe 4 or 5 items to sell in the live auction. So you've got, 4 or 5 winners.
Yeah.
You might have 350 people in the room. So my approach has always been entertain everybody. Mm-hmm. And then you'll just kind of clear a lane for those five or six people to do
that. I'm glad Jim Miller used that word entertain, because there are some auctioneers that we have seen through the years that are auctioning off horses and cows.
Sure.
And blah, blah, blah. That is not what you do, and that is not what most auctioneers do. There are those, that level of pro.
Right.
But then there is the auctioneer as entertainer.
Yeah.
Is that how you see yourself?
Well, I work exclusively in the nonprofit sector. So every one of my clients is a nonprofit. So it's a different mindset.
Why is that?
Why do I work with it?
Yes.
You know, it's kind of where I started, and I liked it. I liked the warm, fuzzy feeling, quite honestly.
Yeah,
and it's gotten even more so now because I'm able to make a bigger impact. And regardless of the client, I mean, in the last week, I had a client on Tuesday night that, you know, I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but I'm not far off. We probably had 125 people in the room. We probably raised $25,000, $35,000. And that will mean that organization gets to stay in business. They get to continue helping youth in Chicago.
So there is some, I'm going to ask you this, there is some altruism in your profession.
Sure.
I mean, that obviously is one of the elements that keeps you going.
I try to make room for them. I try to make room for them on my schedule. And then, you know, 3 days later, I'm at Navy Pier with 1,000 people working for the Cubs.
Yeah.
So
let me read something. Someone sent me something 31 minutes ago, a guy named Dan Durbin. He said, tell Jim Miller hello from Dan Durbin, a guest of yours about 8 years ago on your morning show. Jim was the auctioneer again last night at Envision Unlimited at the Four Seasons. He is the best in the country, and he will always be our auctioneer. Tell me about last night, Jim.
It was great. We had this is just a
what fan. Is this organization?
So Envision Unlimited is a great organization that works with adults with disabilities in helping them find houses, helping train them for jobs, integrating them into our communities. And I've worked with them. I think it's been about 7 or 8 years now, and they're just a great group. And we had a fantastic event last night over at the Four Seasons.
How many people?
I got to think about 400 people. So it was a great room and just a fun room. People that care deeply about it. And you know, I'm the guy there asking them to, you know, for their money.
Well, but also you're now, after 7 or 8 years, you are their a featured performer. I mean, people must come up to you and say, hey, it's good to see you again.
It's awfully nice to hear that.
Yeah, yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah. You do get it's funny because you do get a little bit of this, you know, and let's not overplay it, but you get a little bit, there's some auction junkies out there.
No question.
That just dig it. They love it. And they love that fast talky thing and joking. And, you know, I've had people that are like, you know, I'll be over at this table. You know, if you're looking to pick on somebody,
yeah,
you know, if you want to have a little fun, come on over to mine.
That's the thing that distinguished you the one time I saw you. It was a kind of you were kind of beyond pleasantly playful is the way I want to put it. Pleasantly playful. We'll get into the particulars of being a professional auctioneer. This is your profession.
When someone
says, what do you do? What do you say?
I tell them I'm a fundraiser, and I only do that because if you tell people you're an auctioneer, the next question is inevitably, hey, could you do that fast talky thing for me?
Exactly.
And as you said,
I'm a cow. Pretend I'm a cow. Exactly. Pretend you're selling me and I'm a
cow.
But
I'm an auctioneer. Yeah. I mean, that is, I'm licensed and that is what I do. But I like the entertaining part to me really is just an offshoot from the old radio.
Yeah, no question. No question. That's what makes you so good. We got to take a short break, during which I'll tell you. Come on out to WGN-TV's White Sox Weather Day this Tuesday. See Skilling's presentation, followed by the White Sox versus the Indians. Tickets available at whitesox.com/WGN. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Jim Miller, my guest, is a auctioneer. That is his profession. That is his livelihood. That is, I would dare say, Jim, your passion, too.
Yeah.
You can get a lot of information. You got a nice website. It is charityauctioneer.com. But we're going to probe now. Do you make a good living doing this?
Yeah.
I don't want figures.
No. Here's the thing is, you know, when you work with nonprofits, at some point in time, there has to be a return on investment for that.
Sure.
And I've always believed that if I'm going to ask for a dollar from a nonprofit organization, I'd better be able to bring them three or four.
Yeah.
And so a big part of what I do and what I try and offer is to be able to work with him well in advance. You get to see me for 20 minutes, do the auction.
Also, one of the great things about your website is you have a set of, factless. What somebody, if you are out there, ladies and gentlemen, one of you is saying, you know, now that you mentioned, maybe we should have an auction for our operation, for our charity, for our business. The thing to do is do it in a sensible way, to sit with you before saying, hey, I think I'll hire this guy, Jim, and just wing it from there. Right. There are a dozen things that people need to know before they go in. What kind of microphone they have, number of different things. And so you're sort of a
there's a consultant aspect to it.
I don't like
the term, but, you know, again, that 20 minutes that you see, that's what makes my phone ring, and that's great.
Sure.
But it's the 7 months in advance that I'm working with the team, and it's always a smaller team than you'd like to have, trying to come up with those items.
Give me an example. What's the biggest mistake that people will make going into setting up an auction, trying to raise money? Some of the biggest mistake may indeed be saying, all we need is the auctioneer, and we'll get prizes from our friends.
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake that I see made over and over is putting too much emphasis on what they consider to be the value of the items they're getting. So I'll give you an example.
Sure.
Somebody will say, well, my best friend owns the local Persian rug store, and he's going to give us an incredible 75-year-old Persian rug. It's worth $15,000. In a live auction setting on a Saturday night at the Radisson with a bunch of people that came because they care about the XYZ Foundation, the chances of us having two or three people
who love Persian rugs,
needed that size Persian rug,
have $15,000.
Yeah. It just doesn't happen. Yep. And so I have one simple, and I talk to people about this all the time. Ask yourself one question. Are you confident you can get two or more people to fight over this? And the emphasis is really on fight. It's got to be. I got no beef with the White Sox, but until they're back in those winning ways, you don't have to fight to get tickets to see that team play.
Point.
So you go with whoever it is that's hot. And in 2005, we were blowing them out, and there were a lot of years where you couldn't get money for Cubs tickets, and it gets soft when the Bulls aren't winning. And so if you can just ask yourself, can I find people that really want that item? That makes a good one. So I always tell them, I get it. We want to raise a lot of money, and I know that $15,000 looks good on paper, but the reality is you're never getting that $15,000.
Don't you find, and you must, because you go to 10 times as many of these as I do, and I have been to plenty, but when it comes to auction prizes, even silent auction stuff, and especially with live auction prizes, it is kind of the usual auction suspects.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, a week in Acapulco, a foursome at Medina.
Right.
There's such a, it seems to me, an utter lack of creativity. And I guess, and I don't know if you've seen it, maybe people just have that kind of expendable dough in order to help the organization. They'll pay $5,000 for a foursome at Medina, but
sometimes they will. But that's a good enough example. And Medina is one of the greatest golf courses in the country.
Yep.
But golf is not what it was 20 years ago.
True.
And while it's still not a course that I'm going to get invited to join,
likewise.
So people will want that opportunity to play it, but they're just not paying what they used to. And so it's tough, because when you get that donation, almost always from a member, they don't want to talk about how it's not worth what it used to be worth. And so they're still telling you it's worth $5,000. But the reality is you're probably not going to see that.
Well,
but we try and make it create. I mean, the best items that I've ever saw, I give you an example, is, you know, we did this Cubs event this past week. And obviously they have access to some tremendous, you know, there's nobody else out there that can offer you a, you know, get inside the scoreboard experience.
Sure.
That's cool. They had 51 empty wine bottles. These bottles were opened after every win during the 2018 series. At the end of the game, they win, they break open a bottle of wine, and Joe Madden would get out a silver Sharpie and he'd write some notes on it. You know, and he'd put on the, you know, Lester went, you know, 7 innings, you know, 9 strikeouts, you know, 7th inning, you know, KB hits a grand slam. Just puts little game notes on it. And they saved them.
Why? Why do you think he did that? Do you think he did it with a note, or is he just nuts?
I think Joe loves the game. He loves the psychology. He loves the history. I think it's a memory thing for him.
Wow.
This is a one of a kind. You can't get this anywhere else. 51 empty wine bottles, and we put them out there. You can't get this anywhere else.
Correct.
I don't know. I think we sold it for $13,000.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
How did you
phrase? And I had four people come up to me and they go, these are just going to collect dust in somebody's den. And I'm like, yeah, but where else are you going to get something?
How did you pitch that item? When you pitch the item, ladies and gentlemen, this is unique.
Yeah.
Joe Madden is kind of nuts and he writes on all these wine labels.
A little bit.
And you can own this.
That's it. And that's the unique thing. And it can be a couple of years ago, we did, you know, similar types of things with, you know, we had for Kerry Wood, I did some work with the Wood Foundation, great organization.
Yeah, that is.
And we decided for the 20th anniversary of his 20K game, we said, well, let's go out and get a baseball signed by every person he struck out. And so there weren't 20 players. There were a couple guys that just had a bad day.
Yeah, right.
There were a total of, I think, about 11 guys and a couple of them multiples. Well, not all these guys are Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, quite honestly, I don't think there's no great secret. I mean, you know, we probably spent $250 collecting all these balls on eBay and calling in some favors and put them in a beautiful frame and they put in a baseball glove and, you know, a couple of autographs, everything else. And again, you know, somebody in the room that believes in that organization, that really wants to help them, there's a pretty good chance that they came into that night thinking, geez, I'd like to donate $10,000-$15,000 to this cause. And then I like to think that at some point during the process, they go, or I could buy this really cool piece of memorabilia.
Which is, in a sense, a donation.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Well,
an item being unique, obviously, is the
it's the
greatest
best.
Thing.
It's the best.
Do you know before you go into most of these what you're going to be auctioning off live?
Yeah. That's,
I don't mean like 5 minutes before.
No, no. But that's that process. That's the months in advance. I mean, I literally, you know, I've got four auctions this week, and I know what I'm selling at every one of them. And we've been talking about it and that constant feedback with the organizations.
And you will step up and say, look, I just don't think.
Absolutely. It's part of my responsibility. Now, they don't always like to hear that.
Of course not.
You tell somebody on the committee, hey, I know your best friend's the rug dealer.
The Persian rug dealer.
But what I want from the rug dealer is, you know, his box seats for the Bears, if he's got those. Because you have to be able to, and they don't have to listen to me. And you know, many times that happens.
So this is creative for you before and during the fact. After, I'm assuming people just go, hey, great job, as these people
are
writing notes to me. But before and during.
Yeah.
How do you get up for these things? I mean, is there a... It's like it is very much, I think, having seen you, a performance piece in essence. Yes?
Yeah, you get that rush. I don't... You know, I think it's the same as coming on the radio.
You pretend you're on the radio.
You do. You just... You know, to me, I mean, that's the... You know, I have a lot of friends in radio still. And, you know, it's ironic because a lot of people in radio like the idea of being in a room with four walls and not having to face people.
Yeah, right.
And I've always been the guy that says, oh, hang on, if you got 1,000 people out there, let me go talk to them. And so that's just been a little bit of it. But yeah, I mean, you just, you know.
And knowing the size of the crowd before we take a break, if you're doing it in 200 is relatively intimate, 1,000 is a stadium, like I would think. How does your attitude change to that? I mean, are you more gregarious, more extroverted? Do you turn that on?
A little bit. You have to. It's a bigger room. It's a little bit tougher to get everybody's attention. That's the trickiest part. It's a little less intimate. It's a little tough to go out into a room of 1,000 people and you know, work one-on-one. But you do what you can.
You have a fascinating job. We're going to continue on with auctioneer Jim Miller. You can read all about him at charityauctioneer.com. And we'll ask, the whole field is interesting because it's got to be a very competitive field.
It is.
I think it is a very competitive field. So please stay tuned. Fascinating CD called Beyond the Neighborhood, the Music of Fred Rogers. Yes, That Mr. Rogers. It's her collaborative effort with Kevin Bales. I have a few more minutes with Jim Miller, who calls himself an auctioneer, but I call him a producer and performer. I think that better captures you do help produce these events, these very serious events, though you make them lighthearted and fun to raise money for the nonprofits for whom you work. You've been doing it since 1989, starting with an elementary school, and now you do everybody. It's got to be a pretty competitive field, though, Jim, because there are increasingly competitive because the philanthropic community, as we were just talking before the show, is kind of shrinking in a certain way where now it's like, oh, I can just go online and give money to these people, right?
Yeah, the way people give has shifted a lot. And there's a lot of really good people that do this. When I first started, there were, honest to goodness, there's probably 20 people in the whole country that were able to say, all we do is the nonprofit stuff. Yeah. There's always been somebody at, you know, Hart Davis Hart. There's always been somebody at Leslie Hindman. There's always been somebody at those cars and cattle auctions. And they're always willing to donate their time and to come in and do it. And so for me, it was finding that niche and saying, hey, if I'm going to work with the nonprofits, you got to work with them in advance, help them get things right. These are always understaffed. I can't think of a nonprofit I've worked with in 30 years.
Where they have their annual benefit producer.
It's easy to keep track of who's on the team. It's usually three or four people at the most, and many of them it's one person. It's an extraordinary amount of work. I mean, these committees are always driven by volunteers.
I mean, I get the feeling you really like that creative challenge too.
I do. They're thirsty for knowledge. When I walk in, and many times I'll meet with like a board, and you know, here are these people that are on a board because they care about this organization, but nobody was brought onto that board with a pre-qualification of having auction knowledge. Many of them have it.
Sure.
But to have somebody come in, there's nothing better than having a bunch of people in the room that have great contacts. Maybe they've got money. Maybe they've got influence. And to say, here's what I'm looking for. You know, I remember years ago when I told somebody when the Grateful Dead came and did their last show, I said, hey, I think that's going to be a pretty hot concert. These are going to be tough tickets. And, you know, but I think it's sold out. And I, you know, 3 hours later, I got an email and they said, oh, well, we got the tickets.
It's all tickets. Think it's sold out.
Yeah.
We called Jam Production.
Somebody always knows somebody.
It just seems, and one of the great things about you, getting to know you a little better, is you were terribly enthusiastic about what you do.
I love it. I really do. I mean, it's an absolute joy from very early on in my life. I was told, like I think a lot of people are, love what you do. Find something that you enjoy doing. Now, I was doing radio, and of course, I became fabulously wealthy doing small market radio.
We all.
Everybody,
yes,
that's where
Dan and I are rich, and
big.
Ro Coleman's got tons of dough. She just likes to come in and produce this show on Sunday nights.
Big money. But it's a fantastic feeling to know that you can help these organizations just a little bit. There are a lot of people doing a lot more work.
Also, also for you, and I saw it happen at at the Chicago Film Archives benefit. There's a reward for your ego too, is there not? Because you are an absolute entertainer.
No, there's no question. Yeah, I mean, I am at the very bottom. I mean, I'm not even the most famous Jim Miller in Chicago. Yeah,
that's so true. Do you ever use your name to get free drinks? Yeah, I'll never forget that touchdown pass that guy dropped. Yeah.
I will tell you one quick story. Jimmy Buffett came to town a couple of years ago, and I remember getting the email. I'm a big fan of his, and it said that he was playing at the House of Blues. And I said, well, that's just an April Fool's joke. Something's right. He's not playing at the House of Blues. And of course he was.
Yeah.
He was doing these little in-between shows. And so it sold out immediately. And I made a phone call about 3 days before the show, and I called and just got the box office and talked to a young girl, and I said, hey, I said, I know how this works. And a couple days before this show, somebody's going to release some tickets, and I just want you to know that I'm interested. So I'm going to give you my personal phone number, and please don't share this with anybody.
Yeah.
But I'm going
to
give you
Because we used to do that before the Bears game.
Right.
I'm just telling you that. That's how I know this. Yeah.
And I said, when these tickets come available, please give me a call. I just need one ticket. I'm going to come in. I'm not going to cause it. She goes, okay. And I give her my phone number, give her my name. And about 20 minutes later, my phone rings and it's some guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Miller. Hey, we just wanted to check in and just like we absolutely have got a ticket for you. And
you got some free drink tickets for
you. Not once did I misrepresent who I truly was. And it's the only time I have at the end of the conversation, I went, oh, they definitely think I'm the other Jim.
But one of the great things, I think, I think I would recognize on sight Jim Miller, but I'm not sure I would. Dan, would you? The Bears quarterback?
You see him on TV on occasion. Well, he went to school at Michigan State, and he's
if you can share stories.
I'm a little older than him, but I mean, there was a time when, you know, I was playing high school football, and you know, there was a little confusion, but not for long.
Close enough, man. Close enough. Jim, it's really a pleasure to get to know you. You're going to be back on here too, because you should come in someday and just talk about when you've got a lot of upcoming auctions to try to get people coming to the auction, because you work for nonprofits nonprofits sort of quietly make this city run.
Well, I know there are very few of them that don't benefit from the generosity of this radio station and the organization, and on their behalf, I thank you guys for everything that you guys do to help them. So.
Anytime. I'll try to get you a podcast on this show. I think you'd be good at that, too. Go to charityauctioneer.com and look in your Chicago Tribune in the coming weeks, because Jim is such an interesting guy, and I am full-time a writer for the Tribune, that we're going to do a story about this. The fascinating world of non-for-profit auctions. Great to see you. Great to get to know you, and carry on.
Real pleasure. Thanks, Rick.
We'll take a little break, and we'll talk to Ina Pinkney about something she's got going on.